Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 98 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of Udinese-Inter, which finished 2-3 to the visitors. Goals from Davide Fratesi in the first minute, Cabasele in the 35th. Lautaro Martinez breaks his duck on the score sheet for the first time this season in the 48th minute, actually extra time in the first half. Goal from Lautaro again in the 47th, and then Lorenzo Luca in the 83rd minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny's been traveling cross-country this weekend.
Not even across the country yet.
How you feeling, man? Where are you now?
Dude, I'm exhausted. I'm in Ohio right now. This is the first quarter of my trek out to Vegas. Dude, I'm beat. Waking up early, driving. Today was 9 hours.
How many states did you pass through today?
Today I passed through 4 states.
Damn.
Yeah. And then tomorrow I got to get to Kentucky. No, I'm an idiot. Kansas. I'm right above Kentucky.
Seeing the country just in time for it to all burn down by November.
Oh, great.
Congrats, man.
Great.
So we're recording this a couple days after the game. Which is not bad. It's a different perspective of it, right? It's not like the immediate reaction. There's been time to settle down. I feel a lot better about the game now than I did immediately afterwards. I think I tweeted like, you know, not happy, but happy for, you know, at least we got the 3 points. How are you feeling a couple days removed from bouncing back after the derby, getting those 3 points, which is crucial? We're only 2 points behind Napoli right now, 6 games in. But the performance obviously was a little uneven. How are you feeling a couple days after the dust has settled here?
Yeah, a couple days after, obviously I'm feeling a little bit better about it. Same thing. Initially, I was a little concerned, you know, but I'm happy we walked away with the 3 points. I think that's the most important thing really at this point in the season, especially given how we've been a little slow out of the gates. So to get 3 points against a club that has been, you know, one of the top teams in the league so far, I think is huge. They've been a tough team for us in years past. Udinese always gives us a hard time, especially away.
And that pitch was ass too.
Yeah, that pitch did not look good. But yeah, you know, being at the Dacia Arena, it was good to get the 3 points, and I'm happy now. You know, especially like you said, with Lautaro getting his account opened. I did say if he didn't get it by the Udinese game, you know, I would be a little concerned, and he had to get one of those what they call grindy goals in hockey for his first one, and then I think once you do that, you saw how he got with the second one, so. So I think that's definitely good for us going forward. So, hey, 3 points, let's take it and run kind of thing.
Probably there was three really big storylines coming into the game. The first is, how are you going to rebound after an emotional derby loss that was deserved? You know, I've got to keep pace with everyone. The rest of the sides are winning and picking up points. 8 points after your first 5 games is just not good enough. So needed the victory. Then the Barella injury, which is going to keep him out 2 more games, apparently 2 more, hopefully only 2 more, but we'll see how things shake out with his recovery. So how are we going to look like without arguably the best player in the team? And then Lautaro, is he going to get off the mark and when? So we got answers to all three. The team did look different without Barella. Starting lineup, let's start here. Were you expecting to have Fratesi just slot into the midfield? He's been Barella's backup, so it, you know, it made sense from a positional standpoint. Or were you hoping to see, you know, Zielinski from the start, maybe shifting over to the right of the midfield? What did you think when you saw that midfield starting lineup?
Yeah, I was fine with Fratesi starting initially in the Barella slot. What I really wanted was to see Zielinski step in for Miggy. I think that was something that, given how Mkhitaryan performed in the Derby, I was hoping that there would be some kind of, you know, repercussions for his actions. But clearly, I'm telling you, man, we're going to find out one day that Mkhitaryan has like a dossier on Inzaghi or a child hostage, something. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I just don't get it anymore. And I hate that we keep, you know, kind of picking on him. But you really have to look at it and wonder, like, what more does a guy have to do to get himself taken out of the starting? Like, Pavard has a bad game, boom, Bisek steps in. You know, there's no waiting around. There's no giving him another opportunity. If anybody else has a bad game, they get yanked, whether it's Dumfries, whether it's Di Marco, you know, whoever it is. If someone's not performing up to the standard at Inter, they get replaced. And for whatever reason, Mkhitaryan continues to be trotted out there in the starting 11 week in and week out, and I just don't get it.
I've come to a verdict on Mkhitaryan, but we'll get to him in a little bit. Let's start with Fratesi.
I'm interested.
43 seconds in, Bastoni, you know, gets the ball, shifts over to Thuram. Thuram switches to Darmian, and he plays in an on-rushing Fratesi, who scuffs it past Okoye. Not the greatest finish in the world. I think when it happened, it took Okoye by surprise, right? Like
it's time for my agenda to come out. Heavy right now. Heavy.
Against Okoye?
The luckiest little rat ever. I hate him. No, I'm kidding. No, it's I don't listen, I think Okoye might have had the over under in how fast the first goal would be. That's the only thing that can make sense, because
yeah.
How do you not get a hand on that? Like, when you watch that, I know it kind of surprised him. I get that.
That's what I think it was. I don't think he expected him to, like, I think maybe he thought he was going to take a touch and then try to finish, but he kind of just, like, he kind of whacked
it. I don't know, man. It was so, how do you not get a, I don't know. We might have some investigations coming up against Inter for buying goalkeepers who aren't.
Maybe a little conspiracy. He was on the Italian football podcast with Nima. You think maybe
Nima put a little, you know, €5 in the pocket kind of thing? Because we know Nima's, you know, struggling for the cash right now.
Could be. Could be. But I think the one thing that I want to talk about with Fratesi is obviously not that involved in the buildup. He had a pretty good game. But the element that he brings that's different is you saw as soon as Darmian got his foot on that ball, Fratesi took off into the box. Like, he's very much of our midfield. He's the only one that's really making trailing runs into the box. But he doesn't do that. Like, he wants to be on the ball, behind the ball. Like, he'll strike it from distance, not a problem. He'll play the through ball. But he's not the one, like, running into the box like that. I think maybe people thought Mkhitaryan should be doing stuff like that with Hakan and Barella in the buildup, but he doesn't do any of that. So it's good to have that kind of weapon making those progressive runs into the box. And listen, people want to say, like, you know, you spent 40 million on this player, 38 million on this player for not even a starter. I mean, you could argue who's been a more productive in terms of just goal contributions, who's been a more productive midfielder in the limited minutes that Fratesi's gotten than him? Like, he just scores. Like, he just finds a way to get on the score sheet. And that's valuable. Whether you want to say you should have spent 40 million on a starter, okay, you can have that conversation. But as far as the money is concerned, like, the contributions versus the time spent on the field, he's incredible.
No, listen, the goal scoring prowess, I think, is second to none in terms of midfielders, for sure. The guy just has a knack for getting on the end of a ball when he gets in the box, and it is definitely something that this team is lacking from its midfield, for sure. You know, I have my own thoughts on him in terms of passes and lack of, but you know, at this game he definitely stepped it up for sure. But then, when, you know, being able to get that goal that quickly, it definitely, you could see how the team, it just galvanized the team and they were able to kind of rally around it and turn things around. So very happy with that, you know, that outcome in that situation there. And yeah, let's just I think that he should continue to obviously be in that starting lineup because, like you said, he brings a different ripple, a different layer, whatever you want to call it, to the team when he's on the pitch. And yeah, super excited for his performance for sure.
You start him against the Red Star tomorrow?
That's, you know what, that's
reports
interesting.
Reports are Zielinski, Mickey, Calhanoglu.
I think that's perfect, honestly. And I think that midfield easily gets it done against Red Star. You know, no offense to our old legend Stankovic. I know that's his club, and I know he was a manager there for a little. But yeah, it's I think it should be one that we should be able to finish off pretty quickly. I think this is a game that maybe you let. I actually would like to see Taremi and Lauti from the start on this one. You know, Lauti's already got a good run of things going, and I think that it would be nice to see him continuing and maybe Taremi opens his account.
I'm laughing because have you seen the projected starters yet?
No.
Okay. It's Taremi Arnautović.
Okay. What do I know?
Not Lauti. Very interesting to go with a 3-4 in your second Champions League game. But you have to admit, Thuram definitely needs the rest. Lautaro.
Thuram, yeah, not even a question.
We'll get to Lautaro in a second. All right. The ball from Darmian, though. Quality. Pinpoint.
Are you done? Are you done with the hate of Darmian? Not being able to do anything, go forward? Are you done?
Honestly, he had a pretty good game. Okay. He had a pretty good game.
All right.
He's been having good games. He's been having good performances.
So you're done.
I'm not done. My agenda for Dumfries to be the starting right wing back is still alive and well. We are going to see him get the start tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Huion will be filling in for me from now on. That's it. This is going to be the Dumfries and Dumfries pod.
Well, maybe we'll just get a segment, a Huion segment, where he comes on and gives his thoughts on Dumfries. We could just take a recording and play it every week because it'll be the same.
It'll just be the same.
No,
yeah,
criticism.
We'll let him come on once, and then we'll just have that same clip repeated.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Darmian gets the assist, and Inter's off and running. 10 minutes into the game, 10 minutes later, Calhanoglu crosses it to Lautaro at the back post. It takes a hop right before it gets to Lauti. But he puts it wide on the header. Really should have done better with that chance. I think that was like a pretty good summation of what we've seen from Lauti this season, where he's just like he's not ready or he's not sharp yet. Like it's not looking clean the way that it did last year. He definitely would have put that chance away. But Inter could have been up 2-0 within the first 10 minutes. Sharma tweeted a nice picture of Lauti where it looks like he's carrying a little extra weight.
He's looking like me when I go play on the pitch. So, you know what? Maybe me and him have a lot more in common than I'd want to want to admit. Except he has Agustina and I got my red hand, right?
Oh, God. Okay. I deserve an award, man. I really do. Anyway,
Can I ask a serious question?
Of course.
Listen, I'm kind of curious. I mean, obviously, look, this is from the card collector in me.
Right.
I want to ask your opinion. I'm on eBay. I'm looking at cards for. I'm on a big. Want to just increase my Inter collection. There is a Davide Fratesi autograph card.
Yeah.
Numbered to 25. For $40, you think that's a worth an investment? $40 on a there's only 25 of these, and it's autographed.
My one concern with that, because I do think he's going to continue to be a pretty productive player. My one concern is that I don't think he'll ever shift over to the left side of a midfield as long as Inzaghi is coach. And the other thing too is that I think if we get another productive season out of Fratesi, I do think someone comes calling for him in the summer, and Inter might be willing to.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Because the way I look at it is Mkhitaryan is on his last legs. I think he's done after. I think his contract's up after this season.
Let me pull it up.
Pretty sure. I think he's here until 2025.
So his contract is until. Where is it? Anyway, keep talking while
maybe
maybe 2026.
Maybe it is 2026. I could be wrong, but I think for $40, I think that's a good deal.
You think you could see him shift over? It's 2026.
It is 2026. Ugh. Yeah. Okay. Maybe somebody does. See, like the thing that drives me crazy is there's like ones that are listed at up to number to 10, which is actually a really nice. Like it's like a black design. And then the number to 25 is like this orange design, which kind of like looks, it makes him pop out. But the price difference is insane. Like they want $120 for 1 to 10, and then to 25 it's 40.
I wouldn't do the 120, but
I wouldn't.
Listen,
no.
If he doesn't have a clear path to a starting berth, you know his agent, Beppe Rizzo.
Uh-oh.
You apparently tried to get a move this summer.
You might be onto something there.
Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well said. Good point.
But either way, like as far as Lauti fitness-wise, does he look a little slower to you? A little bit?
Yeah. He looks
like he's
running
in mud.
Yeah. Doesn't look as sharp as he did. Yeah, I don't know if it's running in, I don't know. The touch doesn't look as crisp. The reaction, like there was a play that he had where he picked up the ball in the middle of the pitch, and he was just like looking down, and the ball was kind of clunky at his feet, and he just didn't look around him. And it just seems like everything's a little bit slower. Not just his movement, but like even his reactions and his awareness. Yeah, I don't know if Agostina's fatting him up at the restaurant that they have. Could be, you know.
It's weird because he's been playing so much that, like, when did you have the opportunity to bulk up? Like, when did he have the opportunity to eat his way?
When I was playing all the time. I made sure I had time to eat, you know. So he might just be like me, you know. He's just a fat kid who's parading as a cultural player, and he's, you know, you got the hot wife, you got the kids, the money's there.
You
right?
got the like, contract.
You got the money, bro. It's like. I don't know. I'm good, honey. That's what he says. You know,
could be a little of that, and maybe we'll start to see some of the other forwards. Given that Arnautovic is apparently starting, Taremi's apparently starting, Correa coming on for some appearances. Let's not start.
That was the one time where I actually that was the only thing that upset me really about that game. Anyway.
Potentially could have been 3-0. Ball comes into Turam, who holds off Cabasele. Like really, really good hold up play. Got right up to Okoye, but the shot was not the best, not placed well. Okoye makes the save. That was in the 22nd minute. You have another chance. A ball comes to Fratesi inside the box. He drags it wide. And then comes Udinese's goal, which was kind of a mirror of the goal they gave up against Monza. It's the same thing where it's across from the right-hand side of the pitch. Cabasele gets on the head of it, and it's untouchable for Sommer. He can't get to it. It was a beautiful header. But I guess my question to you on this goal, I have two questions here. One, are we looking at a problem with our ability to defend crosses into the box? It's the second time that, again, it's the exact same. I tweeted, like, exact same setup of the goal, or what I saw was a Bisek that was not tight to his man. What's the situation here for you with Inter, you know, conceding another headed goal here?
Yeah, it seems to be a concerning trend for sure. With their, it's almost like their lack of focus on balls being crossed in. Bisek did lose his guy for sure. He wasn't as tight as he should have been. I think that if he is on his man, he can't get his head on that ball, and then, you know, it's just it either rolls to the side or whatever, or Sommer makes an easy save. That's something that I don't know if who's actually working with the defenders on crosses, but I feel like that's something that teams are going to look at and like, hey, that's something that we can exploit, you know, going forward, that we might be able to take advantage of their lack of awareness in the box, that we may be able to get a guy lost in there. And there are a lot of teams out there with big forwards who can get on the end of a cross like that. You know, I know we took care of Atalanta. Arteta could be a guy. You know, Lorenzo Luca, he's good in the air. And, I mean, he did – we can talk about him later in the game. But, you know, he's a guy that could, you know, could cause some problems. Obviously, Vlahovic and I'm trying to think of who else is around there. Who's – oh, my gosh. Who's that super tall
Luka?
Forward? No. He's –
Juric?
Yes, Juric. He's another one that, you know, the team decides to just want I forget where he is now. He's I know he was at Hellas. Is he still at Hellas?
It doesn't matter. Anyway. Forgetting who you're thinking of.
But it's
it
like,
might have been Juric because he was at Verona and then went to Monza.
That's it. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I knew he was at he either went one way or the other. Anyway. You know, that's a guy that teams could just spam crosses in and he can get on the end of it, you know, and I don't know what's going on. Like we've kind of seen a dip in form in Pavard. Bissek was okay this past weekend, and you know, De Vrij obviously isn't really trusted anymore. It feels like I think he might be the type of guy who gets minutes only if Acerbi is really injured or something.
Apparently, starting against Red Star.
Well, I mean, you would hope he'd be able to at least get that game, right? You know, I mean,
Acerbi does need a break.
Yeah, exactly. You do need to give him a rest. I know it's not going to happen. I kind of wish this was a game where you can kind of see what you have in Palacios. I know it's not going to be even remotely considered. But, you know, I would rather try him out in a game like this than, God forbid, there's an injury down the line where then you have to give him major minutes. But hopefully, you know, that's something that Inzaghi works on with the team in training, because, yeah, if it continues like this, teams are going to look to exploit it over and over again.
I think also the fact that it's not only that we're allowing the crosses to be completed, but it's also the fact that we're allowing the crosses to come in. So Inter allowed 20 crosses from Udinese, which is one behind Venezia and Bologna for crosses allowed this weekend. They're just letting their opponents put the ball into the box at this point. You could see neither Calhanoglu or Di Marco stepping to Zamuda on the cross. It looks like this might be a weakness of the team. Like, you can just dump the ball into the box against us, which is not... It's not what you want, especially with an aging Acerbi, especially with Bissek on the pitch, you know, maybe not having the experience to face these kind of actions. But it is a little worrying that we are, you know, the big team that's allowing our opponents to dump the ball into the box against us. No other big team allowed this much. Milan only allowed 14 crosses into the box. Napoli only allowed 9, Juventus 9. So... it's, you know, we're just letting, those are opportunities, right? Even if you have faith in your big, tall central defenders, you shouldn't let your opponents just pump balls into the box. And it's something that we've seen this season. Alrighty. 43rd minute, Darmian gets a chance, shoots it wide of the target. I just had to throw that in there for my agenda that I'm pushing. And then 3 minutes into additional time in the first half.
To our devoted listeners, is Alessandro depicting, you know, some signs of racism towards Italian nationalists?
No, don't say that, dude. I'm not trying to get canceled. Italian nationals.
Just a question, guys.
Italian nationals.
Italian nationalists. I had to phrase it that way on purpose. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried. Your hate for Darmian, a little concerning. I don't know.
Listen, it's the over like 33 club that I'm not huge fans of.
That's messed up. I feel attacked. That's okay.
Just on the pitch. Just on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Nice recovery.
Inter takes the 2-1 lead. Di Marco plays a ball into the box, and it's the exact situation that you described, just like a gritty, didn't mean to do it, you know, hits Lautaro and rolls past Okoye. I thought it had a lot more to do with like Udinese's defending than a perfect connection between
looked exposed there.
Yeah, and on the third goal, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And Lauti, you know, gets off the mark. You can see the guys were clearly very happy to him. I think Bastoni, very happy for him. Bastoni, like, threw him to the ground, and he hit his head on the ground. He was, like, holding his face. So, you know, they're happy for the captain to get on the score sheet now. And we saw the way that Lautaro played for the rest of the game. So, obviously, it was super important for him to get that goal. But we go into the break after an up-and-down first half where we created a bunch of chances. Didn't put them away, and you know, just found a way to go into the second half up 2-1 as opposed to 1-1, which, you know, you can already see on Twitter everyone is out for us. And then we double our lead there. We make it 3-1 in the 47th minute. Bastoni plays a ball over to Thuram. Biol either misjudges it or the slickness of the pitch allowed the ball to, like, just hop up over his leg. But Thuram does a good job holding it up, laying it off to Lauti, and he puts it into the far right corner past Okoye. A really, really good goal, and it's 3-1 Inter.
Yeah, I mean, a gorgeous goal. Great finish. That's kind of the finishes that he was able to do so effortlessly last season. So to see him be able to do that, you could definitely see the confidence was coming back, you know, after the grimy goal that he did score in the first half. So, listen, I'm hoping that he can keep this going, because you could already see Thuram hasn't really had the same impact that he had earlier in the season, which is expected, right? We don't really see him as, like, a goal-scoring striker for us. He's more of, you know, that the number 9.5 or whatever, the second striker, however you want to call it, where he's more of a facilitator for Lauti. And it's definitely something that we hope that... you know, he can just keep growing into matches and keep scoring big goals for us, because it would have been nice to see one of his trademark finishes, you know, in the derby. It seemed to be lacking for sure. But if this is what how he's able to pick it up and turn it up going forward, I think we'll be fine. Come into the season, I still see us winning, you know, the title if he's able to score his goals.
Yeah, and it's a double on the day. So, you know, it's not just that one, like, shit goal that he finds its way, and he scores a real quality goal.
Did Alessandro freeze on me?
Oh, hello?
It was going to be tough. It was always going to be tough with us being in different places. Me being in a hotel, relying on hotel Wi-Fi to keep this pod going, guys. So I do apologize. Hopefully we can... get this figured out going forward, man. Because it's not easy. Not easy with our living situations and always being, oh, here he is. That's
sorry about that. It said I was in. I don't know why it booted me out, but
it's okay. It's all right, man.
Either way, you're fired. So Inter takes the 3-1 lead. And then Lorenzo Luca pulls one back in the 83rd minute, just gets on the break. Pulls one past Sommer. A lot of people saying he should have saved that. What do you what was your read on that goal?
You know, I don't know if you listened to the recent Italian football pod.
I did.
But Nemo was already talking about,
so annoyed,
Handanovic vibes. I didn't see that at all personally. And I don't think it's because I'm a big Sommer fanboy. I mean, I don't see the similarities. Like, if you look at the way Sommer made huge saves for us in the derby and kept us in that game when we probably could have lost that game 4-1, 5-1, however you want to look at it, you know, to come out and say, now this match, it was, you know, he was caught, like, just staring at things. I think some of those are going to be tough to make saves, especially the Luca one. You know, I don't see how he could have made that save personally. And listen, if somebody wants to pull up a different angle of the goal and kind of show me what they see, maybe I'll see it differently. I actually haven't looked at the replay since the game took place, so maybe I'm not remembering it as well as I should. But to me, I think that he wasn't going to be able to make that save personally, and I don't really know many other keepers who probably could have.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really have to deal with much throughout the game except for the two goals, and obviously one of them was unsavable, and the other one, maybe he could have gotten to it. I actually, now that I remember, I didn't get to that part of the Italian football podcast because I turned it off after Nima said it was going to be a three-horse race between Milan, Juve, and Napoli for the Serie A title. Some Inter fan this guy is. But anyway, yep. Always talks up the other teams and is always the first to put down Inter. But that's a story for another day. Every team has their problems. You can give me whatever you want about Juventus's defense. They've barely faced any real offense in the one game against Napoli. Both teams barely put any efforts on goal. Number one, number two, to me about this crazy Juventus attack? They didn't score for three fucking games in a row. So I don't want to hear it. Give me whatever you want about all these teams. Every team has their fucking problems. The same as Inter. It's not been a great start to the year, but I'm not fucking backing out on this title challenge. Sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. I can't listen to things like Milan, Juve, Napoli are the only ones challenging for the title.
I understand it's the Italian football podcast. Like, the point is to have perspectives of every club in Serie A, at least the major ones. But like, when you're constantly putting the other clubs on this pedestal, like, oh, Napoli with Conte and one game a week, impossible. You cannot defeat Antonio Conte. Like, all right, look at the first game that they played. You could definitely defeat Antonio Conte. You know, it's not some impossible task. This Juve, I'm sorry. And listen, I know we are Interisti. We are not fans of Juve. I have not been impressed. And even when they had 0-0 draws and all that stuff, and you see Juventus, oh, this is it. This is what I wanted. You're getting the same results that you were getting with Allegri. Just you're having a little bit more possession of the ball. Fantastic. So empty possession now means something to these Juventini. It doesn't make sense to me. And listen, I know Inter have not looked good, and I'm not afraid to admit when they haven't looked good. I could recognize, like you said, that when every club has deficiencies and shortcomings, but I also know we are the defending champions. We haven't had much change in the roster, which I think could be a good thing and a bad thing in some aspects. You know, you do wish you have some fresh blood come in or some players who could step into the starting 11 and have an immediate impact. But Juve had a massive overhaul. You know, people talking about Conceição. Oh my gosh, Conceição, Coop Miners. Oh, this, that. Di Gregorio, what a goal. Di Gregorio hasn't had to do anything. He hasn't had to do anything. And don't get me wrong, I love Di Gregorio. I'm actually upset
They haven't faced teams that can really create chances.
Yeah, exactly.
Roma is not. Who's Roma lighting on fire? They got Juric, and he's got two wins in a row, but like, they didn't. Juric wasn't the coach for that Juve game.
Yeah.
Napoli, Juve didn't create any chances, and neither did Napoli. So, like, outside of that, who have they faced? PSV Eindhoven? I mean, okay.
And they want to brag about that game, and I'm like, that's not even the same. Like, I get it that they won the league last year. They lost some players. And not for nothing, though, the Dutch Eredivisie, no one really looks at that and is like, oh my gosh, this is... You know, this is an Ajax from when
Ajax has fallen,
you know,
off.
Cruyff was at.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah. It's literally a two-horse race now between PSV and Feyenoord.
Yeah.
And so it's not the same.
And also, someone else tweeted this about Inter. You don't want your team to be peaking on September 28th. Like, you don't. We have things that we need to correct. And these players and this coach have shown that they can do that. So I'm not going to be jumping on the... I, of course, can criticize this team. Like, we haven't looked fluid. It hasn't looked like last year. But it's a long season. It's six games in. Yeah. And
there's 32 more league games left.
We're shaking off whatever it was. We're shaking it off. So, three-horse race. Let's see. Let's see how that plays out. And I could be wrong, but I have faith in it. All right. So anyway, this game ends 3-2. Little nerviness at the end, but Inter secures the 3 points. Like I said earlier, 2 points behind leaders Napoli in the title race. Six games in, long season to go. Let's keep pushing forward. All right. Let's talk about these the boys here. Thuram, how did he play for you?
Very average. Nothing exciting at all. I don't know.
One assist, one shot on target, 15 for 19, 79% pass rating today. Looked a little off.
Do you want to call that? Yeah. I don't know. Six?
Yeah, I can give him a six. I think that's fair. Fought Mob has him as an eight.
What? Yo, these apps, bro. How do I get a job at Fought Mob?
I don't know.
Do you have to live in your mother's basement to get into this?
It's the algorithm, bro. It's the algorithm. It's the same thing with PFF. They have Pat Surtain as like the 111th ranked cornerback in the league because no one's throwing at him. He's literally the second or first best cornerback. But anyway, that's a different sport.
Hold on. I am curious though. Who if you're gonna put someone ahead of Pat Surtain, who would it be?
Sauce. But I'm a Jet fan.
Wrong. It's okay. I just wanted to make sure that. Okay. Anyway, let's go.
Turam, it was a simple game from him. I do think that he's a little bit off the pace after a blistering start, but he's also had to lead the line for us for the majority of the season so far because Lauti's been out of form. Taremi had an injury. Arnautovic has dealt with an injury. Correa is Correa. So, he's getting himself ready for the season. Lauti, 85 minutes, two goals on four shots, 93% passing accuracy. I thought that he needed to get more involved in the buildup to just sort of like feel the ball at his feet a little bit, like get touches and really gain some confidence with the ball. Two goals, you're happy for that. It still doesn't look super, super sharp, but I'll give Lauti an eight for the game.
Yeah, I was going to give him a seven just because he did miss some opportunities in the first half before he did get that goal. And I think that would have buried the game, of course, if he was able to finish those. Listen, I'm glad he did score the ones that he did end up scoring, but we need you to just be more clinical like you were last season, where it almost felt like every time the ball was on your foot and you took a shot, we almost felt like it was going in every single time. So that missing that open header, I don't know. To me, that's almost inexcusable, but I'll let it slide. But that's what I'll just give him a seven, just because of that, not for any other reason except just missing those opportunities.
The wingbacks each chipped in with an assist. 65 minutes for Di Marco. Darmian, I believe, got the full 90. Yep. Darmian was 76% passing accuracy. That was a little worrying to see, but he did try to
put. I think they're also including crosses there.
Yeah, he did. I was just going to say he did try to put a lot into the box, yeah. But I think the wingback group as a whole, give them a seven. They created a couple goals. Happy with what we saw. Carlos Augusto came on in the 65th minute, missed a chance late in the game, and was his typical Carlos Augusto self. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on him. So for me, the group gets a seven collectively.
I'd go a little bit higher with Di Marco personally. I just feel like he really has been our most consistent player all season. Him and Darmian, honestly, I think have been our most consistent players. And I'm not even trying to troll. I know how you feel about Darmian, but I think those guys have been like they haven't put in a bad shift, in my opinion. Barella is my favorite player and probably been the best player, but I think consistency. I would say those two, our wingbacks, have been the guys. So, but yeah, I guess just a 7.5 I'd give for Di Marco, and then everybody else I'm good with the seven too.
Yeah. All right, let's do a stock report for the midfield. So Fratesi obviously gets his goal. He had 85 minutes, four shots on target, 93% passing accuracy. I thought he wasn't.
Is that a typo?
No. Nope, that's it.
I know. No, I knew it was that good.
He wasn't super involved, but he was just a little bit more tidy today, and he was what he was. Like, runs into the box, getting stuff on target, being a threat. As far as the stock report is concerned, I think he's going up in Interisti's eyes. It's in place of Barella, but it doesn't mean that you need to compare him to Barella. It's a completely different kind of player. And I think for what he does, it was an encouraging performance. So stock up for me on Fratesi.
Yeah, no, I mean, no brainer. Definitely agree with you on the stock up. Probably best time to buy now while they're still about to be taken off. So yeah, stock up for sure on David Frat Party.
David Frat Party. Hakan Çalhanoğlu in the Regista spot. Another, you know, decent performance. He had one ball in the first half that was a perfectly delivered switch of play to DiMarco. One of those like skipping passes that you really love to see when he's on form. You know, he hits those pretty beautifully. Nothing really stand out about his game, but he gave us a 90-minute shift, Champions League midweek. So let's see if Aslani ends up having to play a bulk of minutes. But this was definitely needed from Hakan. For me, I'll keep it at a stock level. You know, not up or down. It wasn't like, oh, Hakan's back kind of performance, but there wasn't anything besides, you know, maybe not covering his man Zamora when the ball came in for Cabasele on Udinese's goal, letting him get that cross off. That was probably the only thing that, you know, was a little frustrated with him on, but a good day in Udinese for Hakan.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you there on everything. So no point of throwing anything else out.
All right. This is my take on Mkhitaryan, the other member of the midfield, to pick up 90 minutes here.
Can't wait to hear it.
I don't view Mkhitaryan as a plus in any respect of the game anymore. I don't think, like, the build-up play is not really there. The incisive passes are not really there. Even just the little one-twos, like, he somehow finds a way to mess it up. He's not good when he's being pressured. I don't think he's particularly good defensively. These are all things that it's the truth. Like, he's not been
tell him,
bro, productive at all, except for one area, which I think is what he is at this point, and maybe we should appreciate this aspect of it. Okay, what he's going to be for Inter this season is a minutes eater. We have so many games to play.
You think that should be appreciated?
That he just eats minutes in the midfield? Like, you're giving... If there is value to be...
You've got three quality guys. I'm sorry. Two quality guys and one mediocre guy on the bench. I don't think I need you to be eating minutes when I have a guy who is a ready-made player who could step right in right away in Zielinski. And you have a guy who is definitely showing a seat. Definitely showing himself to be valuable in Fratesi. I don't know.
You got three games a week. You got three games a week. Your midfield is Barella's down. Fratesi, who, you know, is not, we haven't seen a lot from as a starter. Hakan, Aslani, Zielinski, and Mkhitaryan. Three games a week, I don't think Zielinski is going to be able to handle. So I'm saying is that I do think, as long as Inter can win these games, that there would possibly be value to Mkhitaryan eating one of those games at least for the full 90 minutes.
Yes, and I'm okay if it's the games against the teams like Red Star Belgrade or Venezia, not the games where we're playing Milan or Udinese or Juve.
That's
fair. I don't need you out there. I don't need you. You want to play, you want to use him to eat minutes against those clubs that are, no offense, inferior, and you should have no problem handling, and he should be okay to manage, you know, running around for 90 minutes and maybe having a poor touch here and there where it won't really bite us in the ass. Fine, I'm okay with that. But when you go up against the big guys and we need the 3 points, that's when I don't really want to see you anymore.
Do you think that Mkhitaryan can be effective as a closer? Because that could be the other argument where it's like, maybe. Okay, he's eating minutes and
but
he's
then,
also.
But it's like, so now he's good enough to be a closer and you could throw him out for 90 minutes against other teams, but Zielinski isn't?
You know, I think Zielinski is a better. He would be better as a closer if you need a goal as opposed to if you're trying to defend a lead. I think he's better in that situation. Like if it's 0-0 and it's a 75th minute and I have Mkhitaryan starting, I like Zielinski in the role of coming off the bench. But if it's
nil-nil in the 75th minute and Zielinski starting, you're still bringing on Mkhitaryan?
No, that's why. Like I don't love him in that. I don't love him exactly in that role at all. Coming off the bench.
Oh, he froze again.
I can still hear you.
I'm starting to wonder if it's his computer. That's where I'm at, ladies and gentlemen. Because I'm not frozen. And I'm on a lousy hotel Wi-Fi internet. This picture of him frozen right now is actually kind of funny to me. I kind of want to laugh. It's the face you make when Nonna tells you she's bringing out the oh, he's back. Okay. I was just saying, the face that you had frozen is like when Nonna's bringing out like the cutlets for you. That was the face.
I don't
you
feel
you
like that. It's super annoying. It says I'm connected. I don't know what the deal is, but try to address it. Try
I was
to get
saying
it
might
out.
Be your computer. It may not even be your internet.
I don't think it's my internet. It may be my computer. We'll figure it out, guys. Sorry, right, anyway. Sorry for the interruption. But anyway, we're talking about Mickey being a closer.
He's no Mariano Rivera, that's for sure.
Yeah. So where are you with what Mickey's minutes should be?
I don't know, man. Like, in my perfect world, he's punted to the moon and Behrenbrook gets brought up. Like, that's my
people
perfect
have been
world.
Bringing that up. Like, Behrenbrook's a talented
it's never
player,
gonna happen.
It's never
I know it's
happen.
Never gonna happen. So there's no reason to get my hopes up or even really for us to talk about it. But like, I don't see the value that he brings anymore. You know, he's living off the glory of scoring a couple of good goals against Milan, once in the Champions League semis, once in, you know, the derby early last season where we throttled them 5-1. And that's really it. Like, I can't think of any games where I'm like, wow, Mkhitaryan was massive or did something really good for it. Like, that's it. Those are the two matches that I can think of with him, and I don't know. I'm okay with him being a closer. If you need to, if you're clinging to a one goal lead and you need him the last 15 minutes, I think I'd be okay with that. But even still, like, I think of like games. There was a game against Monza a few years ago where he tried to do too much in the middle of the park, and Monza ends up scoring the equalizer. You know, like he's got a mistake in his game too. You know, like I just don't know what to think of him. I get what you're saying about him eating minutes, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's when you do have a player who's not really offering anything at all, and in fact is often a negative most of the time he's on the pitch, but you know that he's going to be out there because he has the faith of the coach. It's kind of like, all right, well, Zielinski didn't have to play a ton of minutes. We've got Champions League coming up in midweek. And then in Serie A, who are we playing next? Is it Roma?
Torino.
Okay. You know, so let's see how that shakes out. All right. Defensively, we are looking at Bisek, Acerbi, Bastoni. I think the issue defensively is that we're not as compact as a team. It's a little easier to hit us on the break. I don't know that there's any one specific player that I want to single out as having had a poor performance, but more so the team is not really defending well as a whole. Bastoni, I thought, you know, looked pretty good. Obviously, he had that ball into Thuram. Yeah. Acerbi and Bisek. You know, Bisek wasn't tight to his man. Acerbi, you know, not looking great on the Luka goal. The defense as a whole just is not looking super sharp right now, but there's also been a lot of moving pieces, and I don't think the team is defending well as a whole. Do you have anyone that you want to shout out as far as the defense is concerned?
I don't want to shout out, but I do think that, you know, Bastoni is really stepping up his game defensively, and that was something that I was worried about last year, that I felt like, you know, that was a shortcoming in his game. Where now I have no concern with him being out there. I think he's definitely really stepped it up. And I feel confident saying that he's the most complete defender in Europe right now. I don't think there's anybody who offers as much going forward and is as solid defensively as he is. So very, very lucky to have him for sure.
Any comments on Bisek's performance, which was not typically what we see from him going forward. Defensively, he looked fine except for the goal that we gave up.
I mean, you know, I think it's just still growing pains with him. I don't know if he's, you know, he's not like a young kid, but there's just games where he looks like he's laser focused and nothing could stop him in both facets of the game. And then there's games where he just looks a little flat going forward and kind of can get, you know, caught sleeping defensively. So I don't know. I'm sure. Listen, I felt that way. I'm going to give him a little slack because I was a little hard on Bastoni for having the same types of things where he would have moments where he would be a liability defensively and then, you know, be mediocre going forward and stuff. And I'll show the same grace to Bisek, and hopefully, you know, with the leadership that he has back there, he'll be able to iron that stuff out.
Sommer, outside of the Lorenzo Luca goal, couldn't do anything on Cabasele. You know, I think it's just I don't want to sound the alarms about the keeper right now.
There's no alarms. That there's nothing to sound. You know, like I'm not gonna be like Nima and say that, oh, you know, Martinez could be starting by match day 10. That's, to me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Unless Sommer gets hurt, he's not being replaced. It's nice that we have a ready, you know, a guy who could step in who's ready now, as opposed to when Handanovic was here, we didn't have that. You know, we had. You know, the guy that I thought would be able to handle it, but clearly I was wrong in Radu. But, you know, except for the last season, you know, with Onana, which was completely different. But I'm not sounding any alarms. I'm not concerned. I look at the good that he's done, and I feel like it outweighs the negatives by miles, in my opinion. That's just me.
Yeah, I saw someone complaining that Martinez hasn't played yet this season. Why did we spend $15 million on him? And it's kind of like you didn't pay that sum of money for the season. You paid it for the next 10 years. But anyway, that's not a discussion.
And would you rather spend $15 million this season, or had he stayed at Genoa, then next year you're looking at $30, $35 million?
Yeah.
He probably would have had another fantastic season.
His contract situation would have been different.
I don't know. That's kind of silly to be upset about that, because if you look across Europe, first of all, we would have never been able to get Bento, because not only did they get 18, did he go for 18 million, but then I think his club in Brazil got 40% of his future sale. That's insane. You know, like I don't get it. I don't. To me, that's money well spent, because if you look at it, you signed him for a 5-year contract, right? You get a goalkeeper of that caliber. He doesn't play the first year. He plays 4 years. So you can almost take that $15 million and spread it over the 4 years. And then you're going to get a goalkeeper that's going to clearly exceed that valuation and be able to step in and be the starter. That's something. We literally saved ourselves money by spending the $15 on Martinez now, as opposed to just, you know, going ahead and, I don't know, spending, let's say, $30 million on another goalkeeper. So to get him at that price, the way we did, I think in the long run, we're saving ourselves money. That's the way I see it. So I wouldn't be upset that he's not playing.
Subs, we talked about Augusto and De Vrij, Taremi, Zielinski, and Correa. The only one I really want to shout out is Correa, who looked a little lively there, had a shot on target that Okoye put over the
bar.
Should
have been a pass.
It should have been a pass, but... you know, he looked like a little bit proactive and not
so
scared. Okay.
No.
All right. I'm just want to throw that out there. Just wanted to see what you said.
Enough.
All right. So that's Udinese Inter 3-2 victory. We are we've rebounded, and let's see what we do in Champions League midweek. Champions League midweek against Red Star, that's a must win for you.
Yes, it's a must win.
Yeah, me too.
And I want it to be a convincing win, like 3-0.
Yeah, I want to feel good about us. I feel good about us, but not. There's been a little bit too much noise elsewhere. So I would like to have the kind of performance that makes everyone else say, okay, let's slow down on all this Inter hate.
Fair.
All right. Should we get out of here?
Yeah, I gotta go. Gotta go grab some dinner and a little gelato here in Columbus, Ohio, before Monday Night Football.
Let's do it. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.